Hello and a big warm welcome to you, and welcome to the Aware Parenting Podcast. My name's Marion Rose, PhD, and I'm still in the middle of a different series. This is coming after the publishing of my latest book, which is called I'm Here and I'm Listening. And I've already done a few episodes. You might have listened to them based on the stories in the book. And one of the things I really wanted to do at this point is to share an update about loving limits, because one of the things that happened in the process of editing the book was having lots of conversations with Aletha Salter, PhD, who of course is the founder of Aware Parenting, about all kinds of things, including loving limits. And in these conversations, I gained so much clarity about some nuances that I wasn't aware of before. And I love speaking about this here because a couple of reasons. Number one is I love naming this process of the evolution of aware parenting as more and more people practice it, as there are conversations like this with Aletha, that in us talking about things, instructors asking her questions, creating things, it helps her get clearer and clearer about the deeper nuances of aware parenting. And it helps us get clearer as she names these things. And that's really been my experience with aware parenting, is the more I've studied it, the more I've written about it, the more I've created courses about it, written books, done these podcasts, I get more and more clarity. And I love that, because to me, it's this living system, this living body of work that is part of this emergent process, which I think is so wonderful. And the second reason I think that this is so important is really because this mirrors the process for us as parents, that because most of us didn't grow up with aware parenting, these are things that we're learning. These are different practices, different understandings. And if we keep on being willing to learn through listening, reading, but also through our own experimentation and observation, of course we're going to know things that we didn't know. We're going to have more deep understandings, more nuanced ways of really getting this. And if we're going to continually do that on an ongoing basis, it's so important that we're then not judging ourselves for what we didn't know back then, and to be really compassionate with ourselves for what we didn't know, and to also, at places where necessary, to really feel the sadness and to do the mourning that we might need to do that we didn't know back then what we know now. If I imagine going back to 22 years ago me, with the knowledge I have now, and parenting from that place, not only the knowledge I have, but the transformation I've gone through by practicing and through practicing aware parenting, would have been a completely different starting point, a completely different experience for me and my daughter and her dad and then her brother. So that's really part of the process, and I really wanted to name that here. I also want to say, if you have any feelings in relation to not having this information earlier, I am sending so much love to your feelings. I really welcome any and all feelings that you have. And so I want to share the things that I am sharing with you. Most of these things I didn't include on a general basis when I was offering my children loving limits, because I didn't have the clarity that I have now. So I want to let you know all of those things as a preface. And there is already an episode here way, way, way back on loving limits that you're so welcome to listen to if you haven't already. I thought I'd do a tiny little overview of what loving limits actually are before I then go in to talk about these new updates. So first of all, I would like to say that I'm very, very grateful that this is a term that I came up with to describe a concept and a practice that already existed in aware parenting. So I came up with the term loving limits, and Aletha then was willing to adopt that as an official aware parenting term, which I feel so happy about every time I think of it. And in aware parenting, a loving limit isn't just saying no in a loving way. It's offering a no in particular situations. So in aware parenting, there are two types of limits. There is a limit and a loving limit. And a limit is where we're saying no to something, but it's based on our own needs or preferences. So that might be, say, we have promised to take our child to the park, and then we decide that actually we're too tired to go, for example, and then we might let them know that we have a no to going to the park now. They might then have feelings in response to that, and of course we might then listen lovingly to those feelings. But that isn't a loving limit, that's a limit, because the reason we've said it is because of our own needs and preferences and so on, rather than because of their behavior. A loving limit's really specific. A loving limit is when our child is doing something that is caused by painful feelings, and we are saying no to that behavior, not only to stop the behavior, but also to support them in moving from that behavior into feeling and expressing those feelings in healing ways, usually through crying or raging with our loving support. So there might be a number of different ways that their accumulated feelings, unexpressed feelings, might be affecting their behavior that we might respond to with a loving limit. That might be aggression, so they might be hitting or biting or throwing or forcefully taking something from another child. It might be just general agitation. It might be that they're asking for lots and lots of things and they're not happy. Whatever we do, they just don't seem to be happy, and they're whining and agitated, and just this continues and continues. It might be that they're suppressing their feelings. So they might be doing things to suppress their feelings or dissociate from their feelings. So with each of these things, loving limits isn't the only option. In many cases, we can choose between loving limits and attachment play. So attachment play is another core element of aware parenting, which also helps children feel connected and release pent-up feelings, but this time through laughter and play. So with aggression, we can move in with attachment play. With suppression, I actually generally find it preferable to start with connection and attachment play rather than going in with loving limits. So it's always this process of looking at each child and each situation and knowing that there isn't a one size fits all. It's us really observing our child, understanding the theory, and listening into ourselves and experimenting and seeing what happens. So Aletha talks about two different ways that we can also see loving limits. We can see loving limits as stopping their behavior in some way. So for example, if they're hitting, we are stepping in to stop their behavior. But sometimes loving limits can actually be we are stopping our own behavior. That might be, for example, if we are reading them stories and they're clearly really tired and agitated and antsy and they just want another story and another story and another story, that we can then ascertain that actually the real need isn't the story, it's feelings that are preventing them from feeling relaxed enough to go to sleep, and they're trying to distract themselves from those feelings. So then we might offer a loving limit in relation to reading more stories. So we're really offering the limit in terms of not doing that behavior, not reading the story. So those are two ways of differentiating loving limits. So another way I like to talk about loving limits is that we are saying no to the behavior and yes to the feelings underlying the behavior. So in other words, when we offer a loving limit, we're not just saying no and expecting them to go, oh, okay, I'm going to stop doing that and calmly go about their day. We're expecting, because we are stopping a behavior that's caused by painful accumulated feelings, including from the fight-flight response, we are expecting and inviting the feelings underlying the behavior to bubble up and out. And this is a really vital part of loving limits. So we're really saying no to the behavior, but yes to the feelings. So we're really communicating to them that we have a yes to listen. And that means that what is vital to loving limits is that we are communicating to our child that they are physically and emotionally safe, that there is available presence and attention for them to actually feel and express the feelings that are underlying the behavior. So we could think of this in terms of the fight, flight or freeze response, that when they're in fight, flight or freeze, which in aware parenting we tend to term hyperarousal or dissociation, they are generally not feeling. They're either in the fight of the hitting or the biting or the throwing, or the flight, the trying to run away or hide, or the freeze of sucking their thumb or whatever it is. And what they need in order to be able to move out of that into the resolution of that, into the release of those feelings back into homeostasis, is to know that they are physically and emotionally safe now. That's what needs to be communicated so that they can move out of that fight, flight, freeze. So they know it's safe now to descend into the feelings that have been created by that perceived threat. So that's part of what the loving limit is actually contributing to them. We're basically letting them know that they're safe, that we are there to support them, to keep them safe. And I will talk a little bit more about that in terms of these updated parts and why they're so important in terms of really communicating that to them. Ah, you're safe now. You don't need to be in hyperarousal or dissociation. You can move into feeling. You're safe now to move into feeling those feelings in your body, to expressing them, to releasing them, to having them lovingly heard so that you can return back to calm presence again. So obviously then part of those loving limits is that they are loving, they're compassionate, there's no judgment, there's no shame. It's very different from the kinds of limits that most of us grew up with. Most of us grew up with either harsh limits or no limits. So most limits would probably have been punitive or shaming or judging, even in subtle ways. And loving limits are none of these. They're all about creating emotional safety. And that can be a huge thing. So I know for me, it took me quite some years to really, really get loving limits, to really embody them. And I think that's really important to know that so many parents I've worked with over the years have said, well, I'm doing loving limits, I'm offering loving limits, and they're just not working. And sometimes that's because the process of really getting to embody this combination of a no and a yes, a no to the behavior and a yes to the feelings, is it's a really embodied state and generally takes a bit of time to really get that, to experiment with it, to embody it for most of us. So I really want to send you love if you're in that process. The other thing is, if it's aggression we're saying no to, is it's not just our language, It's also about our behavior. So, of course, if a child's hitting or doing something to hurt another or to damage physical items, it's also really important that we step in and do the minimum possible to stop that happening. So that might be moving in to hold the hand if they're about to hit somebody or throw something or take something out of somebody else's hand. I don't generally recommend taking the item away from them unless it's absolutely necessary for safety's sake. Often it's really possible, for example, if they're perhaps if they had a stick in the hand, to hold the hand to prevent them hitting the other person. But again, please always listen to yourself and do what is the most safe in the moment. If they're about to take something from someone, perhaps a child had a toy in the hand and another child comes in to take that toy, again, most helpful to get in there preventatively. So that might be holding the toy while both children have hold of it. If we take it away, it often will just create more powerlessness and more painful feelings. So we're doing the minimum possible to stop the behavior if that's necessary, and communicating the limit. So that's a quick summary of loving limits. And now I'd love to bring in these three additional parts, this update on three things that are really important. So the three things are the importance of giving information when offering a loving limit, the language that we might use when offering loving limits, and the three situations where we don't recommend offering loving limits. So let's start with the first one, giving information. So why is this important? Well, this is really so a child doesn't experience the loving limit as just an arbitrary no, that we're just making up this thing for no reason. So let's talk about some examples here. So let's say we're moving in with a loving limit in response to aggression. And as I said, we could choose to move in with attachment play, but let's say we're moving in with loving limits here. So with a loving limit in response to aggression, personally, again, this is just my preference. I enjoy offering the limit first and then more the love or the empathy, and to put the information in there in between. So, for example, that would be in my languaging that I prefer getting in, preventing the hitting. I'm not willing for you to hit your sister, sweetheart. So that's the no. I'm not willing for you to hit your sister, sweetheart. Then the information. So that might be something like, because I'm here to keep everyone safe. And then some empathy. And I'm here and I'm listening. So to speak that out all in one, that might be something like, I'm not willing for you to hit your sister, sweetheart, because I'm here to keep everyone safe, and I'm here and I'm listening. And so with loving limits, the child, as we stated before, is not going to say, okay, then I won't do that. They're either going to quickly move out of that aggression into the expression of the feelings, because we've helped them move into that sense of, I don't need to be in that fight mode anymore. I can actually move into the feelings because I am safe here to do that. Or they might start doing it more. They might start trying to hit more. They might start pushing up against us. And in which case, you might need to keep offering that loving limit over and over again. And we might choose which parts we repeat. Sometimes it can be really helpful to repeat that information part, because I'm here to keep everyone safe. So we might just keep saying, I'm not willing for you to do that, sweetheart, because I'm here to keep everyone safe and I'm right here and I'm listening. We might repeat that. And what I enjoy about the information part is that's helpful information for them, because I'm here to keep everyone safe, because that part of them that is in that hyperarousal state, that's in that fight or flight state, that thinks they need to still be fighting because there's not a sense of safety there, needs to know that they're safe. So when we keep communicating, I am here to keep everyone safe, that can support them to be more likely to feel safe, because they have that sense, aha, there's an adult here keeping me safe, keeping us safe, which supports them to move out of that fight or flight, out of that hyperarousal, out of that aggression into the expression, into the resolution of that fight or flight response. But it's not only helpful for them, it can also be helpful for us, because that can keep reminding us of why we're doing this. And it can also help us feel safe as well, or experience safety, particularly if we are connecting in with experiences when we were a child where perhaps we weren't safe. So having that continual reminder of I'm here to keep everyone safe can really help what I would call the younger parts. That's not an aware parenting term, but a Marian Method term is that the younger parts are also hearing, ah, okay, there's an adult here keeping everyone safe. Phew, great. So it can help us stay calm, stay relaxed, stay compassionate, so we can keep offering that limit. So that's the giving information with aggression. And so again, this is just one suggestion in terms of languaging. I'm here to keep everyone safe. There are many other pieces of information that you could offer. There's just one. What about if they're more in suppression or dissociation? So trying to distract themselves from their feelings. So for example, the reading the book example, that they, you know, we've read them 10 books already, and perhaps we've let them know that we're willing to read one more, and they keep on asking, and we're clear this isn't a need. They're really tired, they're yawning, they've clearly got some feelings that are preventing them from feeling relaxed enough to sleep. So in this case, with loving them, it's more with dissociation, suppression. I tend to put the empathy first. Again, that's just my preferences. That's not official aware parenting. I just enjoy doing it that way because it's not urgent like with aggression. So I might offer empathy first. I might say something like, I really hear that you want me to read you another book, sweetheart, and I'm not willing to read any more books now. And then the information would be something like, because I don't think that's the most helpful thing for you right now. So again, to speak that all in one piece, I really hear that you want me to read you another book, sweetheart, and I'm not willing to read you any more books now, because I don't think that's the most helpful thing for you right now. And again, they might keep asking, and we can keep on offering empathy. And again, we might find that information helpful, as well as them knowing, it's not just some random thing we're doing. There's a reason for it. But also to help us remember, and this can be particularly helpful if we've experienced harsh limits as children, or just arbitrary limits, is to remind ourselves this is not what we are doing to our child. What we are doing here is aiming to respond in the most apt and accurate way, which is the true need isn't to have another book read to them. The true need is for them to feel the emotional safety and the presence to be able to move out of dissociation or freeze, or the desire for that anyway, into, again, the safety to move into that expression, to feel the feelings and express them, to do the crying or the raging, to let those feelings out so they can feel relaxed in their bodies, and they don't need to be urgently asking for a million things, whether it's the book or whatever it is. So those just are two different forms of information we could give. And as I say, that can be different for every different example. So the second update is about language. So if you've listened to this podcast, or listened to my Psycho Spiritual podcast, or red stuff, red things that I've written. You will probably know that I really love the word willing, whether that's I'm willing for or I'm not willing for. That's a really core part of the Marian method. And I'd really love to clearly say that in aware parenting, there is no set language in offering loving limits. So the willingness language is mine. And I do aim to make that really clear, but I want to make it super duper clear. So you are so welcome to use that willingness language if it's a fit for you. And there are many other ways of communicating loving limits. And again, if you're familiar with my work, you probably know the reason I am so passionate about language and why I particularly love the willingness language is what I really aim to do and to support parents that I'm supporting is to find language that helps us feel this exact quality of what I term, again, in a more Marian method way, this combination of feeling a true power in our bodies and this loving, compassionate spaciousness to be able to listen to the big feelings that we're aiming to support our child to express through them receiving the loving limit. So it's this combination of this true power, that this I'm not willing for you to hit me, I'm not willing to read you another book. It's a really clear no, combined with this beautiful, loving yes. And for each of us, we're going to have different ways of supporting ourselves to feel that quality in our bodies. We have different languaging that supports us to do that. And in particular, if you don't offer loving limits in English, there are many European languages that parents have shared with me over the years that don't have a direct translation of the word willing anyway. So it's really finding your own language that really helps you to know that you are powerful, that you're not going into powerlessness, you're not going into that more kind of flight energy or freeze yourself, dissociation, and you're not going into aggression or power over or retaliation or attack. You're really in this place of knowing that you are powerful and you are creating this sense of safety through this power, through this beautiful, loving power that you're offering them, whilst also being deeply compassionate, understanding the reason for their behavior. This is feelings that they do not want to be doing this. They're not enjoying it. They are in hyperarousal or dissociation, and that they need this loving limit. They need your loving presence and this loving limit to support them to know that they're safe now, that they can come out of hyperarousal and dissociation into actually feeling their feelings, expressing them and releasing all that tension and the pent up energy that was created to protect them, to keep them safe. So I invite you to practice, to listen in to what languaging you enjoy, what helps you feel that quality of this loving power that helps them feel this beautiful safety and love, to know that they are loved, that they are safe, that they don't need to be in fight or flight or freeze. They don't need to be in hyperarousal or dissociation. They are safe. They're safe. You're keeping them safe. You are loving them. They can move into that resolution phase. They can release those feelings they've been holding on to that have been creating the behavior in the first place. So that's the language piece. There's no official language for aware parenting. I love the willingness language. I invite you to choose what really helps you feel those qualities in your body. So third, there are situations in aware parenting where we don't recommend offering loving limits. And even before that, I would like to say that I do notice sometimes people talk about loving limits. Often it can be easy to think about loving limits without actually tending to, first of all, is what's going on? What are they needing? What am I needing? Often things that parents think they need to offer a loving limit for can actually be beautifully solved through listening into what our child needs and what we need and finding ways for us both to get our needs met, or through attachment play, or through all kinds of other things without actually needing loving limits. So that's a little additional thing. But there are three main things where we don't recommend loving limits. The three main situations are, number one, thumb sucking. Number two, food, apart from particular situations. And number three, screens. And again, I'm going to share more details about that. So I'm sending love to you if you have any feelings in relation to these. And I do want to let you know about all of these things. I do talk about loving limits a lot in my most recent book, I'm Here and I'm Listening, has a whole chapter on loving limits, where I talk about all of this in much more depth. And I do have an offering, actually, which I'm going to share about at the end here too. So if you want to understand this in even more depth, which I really recommend, like really getting this, because getting loving limits in parenting is so transformative. So where are the three situations where we don't recommend offering loving limits? The first is thumb sucking. And why is that? Because it's really important to respect a child's sense of the situation, that they are perceiving or believing that they need to be sucking a thumb. And that might be based on the past, that in the past we may not have had the information to understand that they had feelings to express, or we may have understood that but didn't realize that at the moment, or we did understand all about this and we just didn't have the emotional spaciousness to listen, which of course is so normal and natural. And so they have started to suck their thumb to dissociate from those feelings. So it's really important to see thumb sucking as a symptom rather than as just the thing to kind of fix. It's really important to look at what's going on underneath. Why are they experiencing that? What's going on for us? What's happening? Are they accurately picking up that actually there isn't the emotional spaciousness for them to express their feelings right now? So I go into this in more depth in the Loving Limits deep dive, which I'm going to talk about at the end here. So really seeing that if we were to just take a child's thumb out of their mouth and not tending to any of this, what we're basically doing is overriding all of those things. And what I've witnessed when parents have done this is it can then send the dissociation more deep within. The child is needing to do more internal things often to dissociate from their feelings, and that can become much, much harder to support them to know that they are safe to express their feelings, that there is presence now for them to express their feelings. So yeah, as I say, I talk about that in a fair bit more depth in the Loving Limits deep dive. And also in, if it's a baby we're talking about, in my previous book, The Emotional Life of Babies. So the second situation is with food. And why is that? It's because in aware parenting, we're really aiming to support our children to be deeply connected with their bodies. And again, loving limits with food can override that. So I do want to say this does mean that we still do have choice and agency as parents. So in I'm Here and I'm Listening, I talk about food quite a lot. You would have probably heard that too if you've been listening to the food series here on the podcast. We might still choose exactly what's coming in the house, and then within that give our child choice about what they have and when they have it. And when they're clearly asking for food, when they're upset, we can still be connecting in with them, having conversations, doing attachment play. So it's not just going, oh, okay. There's still lots and lots of things we can do, including offering loving limits at other occasions. And of course, as with all things aware parenting, I always invite you to listen into yourself and what resonates for you, and experiment and observe your child or your children and decide what you're going to do based on all of those things. And one of the two situations where we would say it's not that we don't recommend loving limits. I don't quite know how to say that. The two situations are breastfeeding, because it's the mother's body, so it's her choice. If her child is clearly asking to feed because they have painful feelings they're trying to suppress, we're saying no because it's our body, so we're choosing that. Or if the child has a health issue or a weight issue in relation to food. But again, this is based on really implementing all the other elements of aware parenting first, and then offering loving limits only if we're not seeing a change in our child's health as a result of that. So that's food. And the third situation where we don't generally recommend offering loving limits is with screens. So in terms of screens, that's again because we're really aiming to support relationships with our children where they're not experiencing these arbitrary no's. And so with screens, what we really recommend is lots of conversations, making agreements, having discussions. And this is something I really wish, this whole process is something I really wish I had got really clearly with my children, because screens was the thing that I found most challenging in parenting. And so through these conversations with Aletha, I got this beautiful clarity that through the discussion, so we might come to these particular agreements that we might then talk to our child about before they go on a screen. Remember, this is what we decided in our family meeting, or however it is that we communicate that. That might be, you know, one episode or three levels or whatever it is. And we're really communicating this connection, this trust, and the importance of this relationship with them. And then as it's nearing that time or those amount of levels, we might remind them, oh, do you remember we made an agreement about watching one episode or however many episodes, or moving up to three levels, and I see that you're really nearly up to there. And then only if clearly that isn't going to happen and we have offered connection, perhaps we've offered some attachment play, and they're not doing that and they're moving on to watching another episode or another level, then we might move in with a loving limit. So again, this would be more of a possibly suppression. So we're offering the empathy first. Sweetheart, I see you really would love to watch another episode, and I'm not willing for you to watch any more now, because I really want us to stick to the agreement that we made. So that's the information piece there. And again, we might communicate that in different ways. You might offer different information. But I would have loved to have had that in place in terms of a clear loving limit that isn't power over. It doesn't come from powerlessness, but it's really based on this connection that we've connected in before, to finding ways to meet both of our needs and then returning to that. And it might not necessarily be feelings. It might just be they're really, really loving the episodes and they want to watch more, and it's not necessarily feelings that are preventing them from stopping. So again, it may be more of a limit than a loving limit. But yes, in general, we can ascertain if they have been willing to agree and then they're not, that it's possibly feelings. So that's the difference. Screens, food, thumb sucking, three situations where we don't just recommend offering loving limits. With thumb sucking, it would be not at all. Food only in those particular situations, and screens after discussions and agreements. So those are the three elements of the update. The importance of giving information, the clarity about language, and the situations where we don't recommend offering loving limits. So I'm updating all my courses with this information. I'll be letting you know when that happens, and anybody who's got any of the relevant courses will get the updated information. And I've started with my Loving Limits deep dive, which I've updated and added this information that I've shared today in more depth. And to celebrate the birth of I'm Here and I'm Listening, I'm offering it at 50% off for a week. So if you would like to go and access that, I invite you to go to my social media and you'll find more details about how you can get that. So really, that's a small little offering that really goes into, that's what's called a deep dive into loving limits, about exactly what they are, when we can use them, the kinds of language we might use, and then an update that's more in depth than this. So if you would like that, I would love that for you. And if you haven't already got I'm Here and I'm Listening and you would like to do that, I would so appreciate it if you got a copy or ordered a copy for your library. And if you have already bought it and you're reading or you've read it and you'd like to write a review for Amazon, I would so appreciate that too. So thank you so much for all your support. If you want to find the book, you can find that on Amazon. If you want to look at any of my courses, you can find those on marianrose.net, or I invite you to pop along to my social media, which is either Aware Parenting, the Aware Parenting podcast, or _Marian_Rose_. So I've got those three accounts on Instagram. So I'd love to see you there. I've got some fun posts planned on loving limits and various other things. So I invite you to come and have a look. I am sending you so much love. Loving limits is such a big thing. And I so celebrate your willingness to explore it and understand it more. I'm so willing for that to make a really big difference to the amount of ease you experience with them, and the amount of connection and joy and presence you have with your child or children. So thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.